remember the family of Tom Brazell. He's got two sisters that are in very difficult places. One sister with ALS who's got a feeding tube now and looking not good. His other sister, dementia and in hospice. But can we pray and believe God to do a miracle? Absolutely. God can do it. So, I've often told people that I will pray for God to heal your body until you either get healed or you go to be with Jesus. But I'm going to keep praying for your healing. So we want to pray and join with our brother and sister Tom and Judy. Ah. Now I'm up. Okay. And please continue to pray for our 75th anniversary celebration next Saturday. Can hardly believe it. It's coming up quick. We have a lot of people coming. We've got, we're verging on 100 people. A lot of people coming from out of town. A lot of people that haven't been here for a long time. And just pray for some good weather. Right now, it looks like it, I don't trust the long-range forecasters, so we don't know. We're gonna ask and believe God for a good day. You know what? What if it rains? Then we come inside and we rejoice in here. It's okay. Either way, it's going to be all right. But we want to believe God for really awesome fellowship, safe travel for people who are coming a long way. We have a lot of people coming, former ministries, involved in former ministry of the church. We've got Ken and Jim Vendruff and his wife Cindy coming, as far as I know. We've got Dan and Nancy Larkin. Dan's brother Dave was the second pastor of this church. We're going to hear a message from Jesse Tanner, who pastored here for 3 years prior to me. We're going to have... My brain is losing on me. Dave Herr, who was the assistant pastor for a number of years here, is going to come and bring the address. Joan Sorensen, wife of Pastor Mason Sorensen, who pastored here for 28 years, will be in attendance. Lots of people, and so we want to believe God for just a really great time of rejoicing and fellowship. There's also lots to do. We're coming into the home stretch. All kinds of work has already gone into this behind the scenes. But we do need help. Thursday at 11 a.m., Luann is going to be doing balloons. Pardon? Okay. Strike that. 12 p.m., high noon. And... fear not, we have a balloon inflator. Doesn't count on lung power, but lots of balloons to tie up and put and whatever. If you can help with that, please see Luann. She could use some help, and it would be great if she had some people to help. Friday at 1 o'clock, we are going to be here to set up tables and chairs out in the pavilion. If you can, we got any guys that can come. It's an odd time, I know, but Friday at 1 o'clock, if you can do that, see me or see Wayne Taggart, so that we can do that. And really, if we have three or four guys, it'll probably take about 15 minutes. It goes up quick. We do have a couple of canopies to put up as well. And then Saturday at 11 a.m., Luann could use at least three people to help set up table stuff outside. There's going to be a lot of things to take out. So she could use some help with that. If you can help with that, please see Luann. We could, it'll be all hands on deck that day. And then as many of you as can be here, come with a big smile on your face and be the social butterflies. Run around and talk to everybody. Greet people as they come in the door. If you see people and you don't recognize them, go up, introduce yourself. Make people feel welcome, especially people who have not been here for years and years. Go out of your way to love them, bless them, and let them know that we're super excited that they're here. Can you be my undercover spies in that? Go get them. Father, in Jesus' name today, we lift up the Brazil family, Lord, and Father, in this terrible time, Lord, really, it's just such a hard time. But Father, I'm praying for Kathy and for Carol, and Lord, I pray that healing virtue would come in the name of Jesus. I know that Tom and Judy are praying for a miracle, and we're joining with them in Jesus' name that you would crush ALS in Kathy's body in the name of Jesus, that you would turn back the clock. Turn it back, Father, in Jesus' name. Just as this thing has progressed, let it regress in Jesus' name. God, for Carol, Lord, we pray that you would touch her mind, that you would do a restorative work. Father, I've heard the testimonies of people with Alzheimer's that got their minds back. God, you can do it. Father, I pray that you would do a miracle in this family. Lord, that your grace would extend to them and that your hand would come and rest upon both of these ladies. And Lord, lift up their husbands as they walk with them. Help them, Father. Lift up the family as they watch in this time. God, we're asking and believing you to do a mighty thing. And Father, I'm praying, Lord, I know there's a number of needs, physical needs in this house. And Father, we can lay hands on people, but Lord, we know your spirit can descend on people right now. And if you have a physical need in your body today, I want you to just lift that up to the Lord. Father, I pray that you would let the Holy Spirit come and descend on people all over this church and bring healing to their bodies. Release, Father, release for joints, release for muscles, release for infirmities. God, for limbs, God, in Jesus' name, I pray that you would release a fountain of healing that would come and bring release and relief for people in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for it. I pray that we would hear testimonies of healing and deliverance in the name of Jesus. God, we believe you to do it. And if there's somebody, I'm just hearing the Lord saying to me this morning, I think, somebody's got a neck issue. Somebody's been struggling. I mean, maybe in our congregation there could be probably 15 people with neck issues, but if you've got a particular neck issue, I believe God wants to heal somebody's neck. Maybe a painful neck or a mobility issue, I'm not sure what it is, but if that's you, God wants to touch you today. Father, in Jesus' name, do it. Father, do it. Bring healing to that neck in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Glory to God. And we're happy always to pray for people at the end of services. Lay hands on people as the scripture says. But you don't have to wait for that. God can touch you right now. He can do it. He is able. Glory to his name. Looks like people are going to children's church. Little people, it is your time. Amen. Does anybody have a testimony this morning? We heard some great testimonies last week. It was awesome. Anybody have a testimony? What's God been up to? He's always up to something. And if you don't, it's okay. But if you got something and you share it, it brings faith to the hearers. All right, Randy, I'm coming. We like the microphone so we know everybody can hear it.
Well, this is not real long. Yay. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Lord. So we spent a week with my dad a couple weeks ago because my brother and my sister-in-law were on Long Island. My sister-in-law needed to get a medical surgery in New York City. Anyway, so over with him, it was not easy taking care of him and all that. But the thing that was difficult was that there was, you know, these things that were unresolved between he and I. And you know what? They came up, and we had little discussions, he and I. And I'll tell you something, though. God opened up doors, and I've been praying and praying and praying. My prayer has been, God, I want a relationship with my dad. Before he died, I want a relationship with him. And you know what? He opened up his heart, and then he shared something very personal with us, with my brother and I. And since then, he has been sharing more. He started sharing more about like his time, like in youth group, about what he used to do. And I'm like, wow, Dad, that's awesome. That's amazing. So I'm just giving God praise because we don't know how much longer he has. I mean, he's still strong mentally and heart. His legs are very weak. I'm just giving God praise. I've got this time now. This very precious time with my father. So I just want to give him thanks. And thank you all who have prayed for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. I experienced the same thing with my dad. As he got older, had such a different relationship with him than I did when younger. God is able to heal family relationships. And if you have a difficult family relationship, don't give up on it. Keep praying. Believe God. I know because some of you talk to me. I know some of you have got tough family situations. But God can break through that. Keep praying and keep your half of the bridge open. Keep it open. Keep it up. Just your half. Don't cross until you have permission. Put out the flowers, wave to them, and due season, God can do it. He is faithful. Amen. Amen, amen. All right. Well, let's get into the Word today. I got to church today and plugged in my flash drive, double-checked that it was saved to my flash drive, stuck it in the computer, and it wasn't there. And so I got back to my wife and said, it didn't save. Where is it? Can you look on our computer? It wasn't there either. It vanished. So I threw it together in a flurry. So there might be a few things missing, and it's not quite the format I usually do, but God. We've been having doing a series on being an imitator of God. And God wants us to imitate him, just like children want to imitate their parents. God wants us to imitate him. Be like him, talk like him, look like him, act like him. He wants us to do that. And so Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God, therefore, as beloved children. And we can only effectively imitate God when we're secure in our relationship with him. It's the only way that we can do it. The picture of this boy wanting to imitate his father pictures this beautifully. Remember, he feels safe, secure, trusted, and accepted. You're not going to want to imitate your heavenly father unless you feel safe, secure, trusting, and accepted. There are lots of people in the world that try to please their God, small g, and never can, and they're miserable and unhappy trying. Because they got to do this, and they got to do that, and there's an immeasurable standard. God doesn't do that to us. He wants us to feel safe, secure, trusting, and accepted. Now I want to ask you today, do you feel that way? Check your foundation. Check the foundation that you're building on. So before we launch in today's attribute that I want to talk about imitating, I want to reiterate that foundation. I want you to check it. Just see how you're doing with it. Number one, God is a forgiving God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. The knowledge that through Jesus Christ, your sins have been washed away, gone, forgiven, totally. That means we don't walk around with a guilty, condemned conscience. If you do, you need to get into the Word and find out what it says and kick that to the curb. God doesn't want his people to feel guilty. He wants them to feel secure and forgiven. Number two, God is love. John 3:16. Because of Jesus, God pours out his love on us. For God so loved the world that he gave. God's a big giver. He gave us his only begotten son. Because he loves us so much, he gave Jesus. And I want to say to you, God loves you. Period. God loves you. Some of you don't feel loved. because of what you've gone through in your life, maybe you got it. Replace it with the word. Keep telling yourself. Go home and look at yourself in the mirror and say, God loves me. Tell yourself that, especially if you don't feel it. God loves you. Anybody struggle with that? Do you ever feel that feeling, well, God really loves me? I know, I hear people tell me this all the time. They struggle with that. And number three, God is holy. Holy. He cannot tolerate sin. He will not tolerate sin, but he made the way through Jesus Christ for us to be holy positionally. That means we are washed by the blood of Jesus, and when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. Instantly clean. Experientially, we know we're on a walk. We're walking, but he makes the way for us to go step by step so that we can become more holy. It's kind of like peeling the skin off an onion, if you can think of it that way. That's what God's doing with us. He's peeling off layers. Have you had God peel layers off you as you've walked with him? I mean, it's not like an instant zap and we're suddenly sanctified, but he peels stuff off. Aren't you glad that he usually only does a layer at a time? I mean, it'd be horrible if he did 5 or 6 layers and was ripping stuff off you, but he is compassionate. He understands what we can do, and he'll take that off. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. But there's a key point in there. It says if you live according to the flesh, you die. If you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. But notice, but by the Spirit. Because you cannot do it yourself. You need the Holy Spirit to work in you, to change you, and to make you holy. Are you glad that God's made a way? Praise God. Today I want to examine another attribute of God, and it's Isaiah 30:18. God is a God of justice. And this is a message that we need today in our society and in the world. God is a God of justice. This message is not always getting communicated very well, and I'd like to really jump in on it because I think there is some misunderstanding of God's justice, and it's not always communicated very well. Isaiah 30:18, for the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Does that mean we're supposed to wait on God? Absolutely. But for what? For him to be the one who brings the justice. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. This means God is always right. He's always right. He's the one. Why? Because he's God. You want to argue with God? Go read the book of Job. That's an interesting study. You find out Job has all these things happening. He's like, God, why did you do this to me? And God has a little talk with Job at the end of the book. Where were you when I created the heavens? Where were you when I created the Leviathan? Where were you when I did this and when I did that? And Job says, Lord, I'm sorry, I cover my mouth in dust and ashes. I'm not going to say another word. He was done. God is right, and what he says is good, and what he says is bad, and notice the word says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. Do we have that happening today? Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. His commandments are just. His word is right and true. And in this day and age, we need the moral absolutes of his word, not 50 shades of gray. Got news for you. There's no 50 shades of gray. No. God says what's right. He says what's wrong, and he's right, and if we disagree with him, we're wrong. But there's better be some absolute ground that we say is truth. So if God is a loving God, as we talked about earlier, and he's a forgiving God, why would he bring judgment? That doesn't seem fair. If God loves people, why would he judge them? Why would he do that? That doesn't seem fair. Oh, that word fair is a real problem, isn't it? Oh, the reason God judges is because he's right. He's made the rules. He's set the moral boundaries. He knows what's safe for people. He knows what's not safe for people. He knows what we need better than we think we know what we need. And when people run the other way, it's towards self-destruction. He's right and he's holy. Let's talk about some examples of God's justice in the scriptures. We have the flood. Wow. You know, more and more scientific evidence is coming to light for the flood, that it actually happened. Scientists don't like to admit it. They will go through all kinds of contortions, literally contortions, to make the creation of the, or the how the world is fit their narrative, when it just makes sense that there was a worldwide flood. It happened. Oh, and if a quick plug, if you haven't gotten to see the Ark Adventure, Kentucky, is it? Oh, it's worth the trip. It is so awesome. One of the best trips we ever took. Due to widespread wickedness, God said enough is enough. And he cleansed the world with a flood. But he spared Noah and his family. But you know what? He gave those people a chance. He gave them 120 years. He gave them time after time, and it said Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He went around telling them. He gave them a chance. And another chance. And another chance for years and years and years. But then when it's time, God will bring judgment eventually. Then we have Sodom and Gomorrah. We don't like to talk about Sodom. Sodom and Gomorrah is not a popular subject these days. Genesis 19. Sodom and Gomorrah were rife with homosexuality and sexual sin. Rife with homosexuality and sexual sin. You can read about it in the scriptures, and people want to take those scriptures and twist them and say, well, that's not really what it is. You've got to be deaf and blind not to know what God's talking about there. You even look at the original languages. It's talking about the sins of homosexuality and pernicious, sexual sin. It's just clear. And in Genesis 19, Sodom and Gomorrah serve as an example of God's judgment against sin. The cities were destroyed. How could a loving God do that to those people? How could a God that loves do that to those people? He gave them chances too. Lot lived there. Read about it in 2 Peter 2:7 and 8. It said his righteous soul was vexed every day by what he saw there. I imagine he told the people what was going on. And then when God came and wanted to take him out, he ran around to people and said, we got to go. We got to get out of here. And they laughed. They thought he was joking. God wasn't joking. He says, this is the way you live. This is the way you don't live. Because he knows what is safe for us. That lifestyle brings sickness and disease. Right is right and wrong is wrong, and God is the judge. We have the Exodus plagues, Exodus 7 through 9, when God brought judgment against the false gods of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. It serves as an example to people throughout the ages of judgment against idolatry. Serving other gods. And it doesn't mean that you have to bow down to an idol. You might bow down to your finances. You might bow down. I don't know what you might, where we're tempted to bow down and put something and make it more important than God in our lives. Or give it our attention and our priority. But God brought plagues on Egypt from Pharaoh to release Israel from slavery. And it was a judgment on those false gods. Then we have the Babylonian exile. God brought judgment on his people. He promised them a land that flowed with milk and honey, the promises of God. And it said every single thing that God promised them came to pass. Not one word fell. And then what did they do? They ran after other gods. They started worshiping Baal. They started worshiping Ashtaroth. They started worshiping Chemosh and Molech and all the gods of those other nations. And if you think, well, you know, maybe that wasn't so bad, you just read about the practices that go with that worship. Burning your children alive on a red-hot idol. We won't talk about the other sexual practices. It's just horrible, incredible ungodliness, and Israel ran after it, and God said, you know what? I gave you all this, and I'm taking it away. And he took them out of the land that he promised, brought the Babylonians in, dragged them off into exile. It shows the consequences of turning away from God. There's consequences. There is consequences to not walking in the way that God wants you to walk. And he is the judge, and he will bring judgment. Wow. Because God in his holiness demands justice, there has to be a penalty for sin. There has to be a penalty for sin. And the Jews had to offer temporary blood sacrifices day after day, year after year, all these animals to cover their sins, to cover over for the things that they did wrong. And finally, God sent the perfect lamb, his innocent, holy son, to bear the wrath and judgment of sin for us. God's wrath and judgment were satisfied by Jesus bearing our sins. John 19:30, Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." Finished. The end of all these endless blood sacrifices. It's done. It's finished. That word finished means completed, fulfilled, accomplished, paid. Right there, it was done. And the temple, the curtain of the temple torn in two. And there it was. But because God is a God of justice, he calls us to walk with him. He expects us to walk in a way worthy of him. I hope I put this one up when I rewrote that. I did. No, I didn't. Yes. That's not what I wanted. In Romans chapter 11, Paul talks about the people of Israel being this holy tree or bush, and because of unbelief, those branches were cut off, and the Gentiles get grafted in. And he says, don't be high-minded and think, well, they were cut off so that we could be grafted in. Don't be high-minded, but fear, if God did not spare the natural branches, He won't spare you either. Walk in the way that's what's right with him. He is a God of justice. So we're called to continue. But because God is just, we can rest in his justice. We can trust him when life is unfair, when people hurt us, when wrong things are done, all of that. We can trust him that he is the God of justice. The problem is we want to see justice right now. And God is merciful. God is patient. And I want to see somebody get theirs for what they did. You know, that's a really bad heart, because God didn't do that to us. Anyway, let's look at Romans 12:19, do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And then it goes on to say, therefore, if somebody sins against you, you know, be merciful. Do good to them. Heap, in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on their head. Bless them. Let God deal with what needs to be judged. Let it go. Let it go. Easier said than done. I know it. It really is. God is the judge, and until then, we are called to continue to walk in forgiveness. We forgive people. Jesus forgave people, and he never did anything wrong. He never answered back to the accusations. He just stood there silent. He took the beatings. He did all of that. And then he goes, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. It's just an incredible thing. But God is ultimately the judge. We walk in forgiveness. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a place in the world for justice. Romans 13 says, everyone must submit to the governing authorities. You know, God does allow us to have government, and that's a good thing. You know, if your house is being broken into in the middle of the night, you want to be able to call the police and say, help! You know, and there are rules. It would not be right for me to walk up and punch Lynn right in the face. You know, first of all, he's bigger than me, so it would be stupid. And then secondly, the police would come and drag me away. You know, there's justice to be done. You don't do that. I wouldn't do it anyway, but there is still a place for civil justice, law and order, and punishment for crimes. God's forgiveness does not save people from all of their consequences. There's consequences to crime, there's consequences to sin, and we can forgive people, but that doesn't mean there isn't also going to be a consequence to it, and that's an important thing. And also for the Christians, sometimes we think we're called to forgive and forget. Oh, just forgive and forget. Yes, you should forgive. Do you have to forget? That's a question. You know what? Sometimes people do stuff for you, and you can forgive them, but that doesn't mean you have to trust them. Every relationship is made up upon trust. Every relationship. And every relationship has boundaries. And there has to be trust earned always in a relationship. So, yes, we forgive, but that does not mean that we're going to necessarily trust somebody. I can forgive somebody for attacking me, but that doesn't mean I'm necessarily going to go over and visit them again. Hey, how you doing? Pow, yeah, well, you know, don't throw your pearls before swine, Proverbs says. So it's important to understand. That's important. All relationships are based on trust. Appropriate boundaries. There are proper civil penalties for crimes. People can be forgiven but not necessarily saved from the consequences of their sin. But God wants us to be able at times to see justice done, but without the bitterness of an unforgiving heart. Boy, isn't that a hard line to walk? To want to see the justice done, but to see it done without the bitterness of an unforgiving heart. We had a couple here years ago that came, and they shared a testimony. They were husband and wife in ministry, and a guy came and attacked his wife and raped her. And that was a really, really hard thing, and it was devastating to the wife. You know, he comes in with a knife and attacks her. And they stood here and they said, well, you know what? We forgive him. We, as best as we can, we forgive this man, but he's serving his time. He's still serving his time. God wants us to be able to see justice done at times, but without the bitterness of an unforgiving heart. But what do you do when you witness wrong things, hurtful actions, injustices to us or others, and there seems like there's no consequences, no retribution, nothing happening? You know, you read in the paper that somebody embezzled $8 billion, and it seems like nothing happened. Or somebody in government is corrupt, and it shows they've done this and this, and nothing happens to them. It's like, the scripture says, do not fret against evil people. Don't fret against them. Let it go. Let it go. Don't let your heart get all tied up in that. That's where we have to rest in the judgment of God. 2 Timothy 4:1, Jesus says that he is will judge the living and the dead. And frankly, whether somebody gets their due justice on this earth, there's justice coming. There is justice coming. There will be a final judgment where everyone is going to stand before God. Revelation 20, 11 and 12 and 15. Then I saw a great white throne and the one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled away from his presence and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And that is my prayer for people when I pray and I see them doing things that are wrong. God, help them, because I know that someday they're going to have to stand before God and answer for what they did. And if they haven't been covered by the blood of Jesus, there's not going to be any hope for them. And the books were opened, and one of them was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their deeds as recorded in the books. And here's the kicker right here. And if anyone was found whose name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. There is a final judgment. God's love is not going to preclude his judgment. If people aren't in the Lamb's Book of Life, they're not going to spend eternity with him forever. There it is. So how does one get their name in the Book of Life? Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from that final judgment. Saved from it. This is why we evangelize, because we know that someday there is a final judgment. People are going to stand before God, and if they haven't got Jesus, they're going to end up in a fiery place for eternity. I hope that can burn in your heart to make you want to preach the gospel to people, to tell them about Jesus while there's still breath in their lungs. They need to know Jesus. And that should propel us to want to witness to people, to get out and tell people, to pray for people, to speak the word to them. Do everything we can. That's why we evangelize. But through Jesus, we are completely and totally saved from that judgment. Completely and totally saved. And I want that to settle in your heart. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We are not headed toward verse 15. God has delivered us. However, will we be judged? Oh yes. Oh yes. We will also be judged. There is a judgment that believers will experience too. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive his due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. We too will give an account before God. But is this for our salvation? No! This has nothing to do with your salvation. Please understand, this is the believer's judgment, and it is to reward. Are you glad there's a reward for serving him? There's a reward for investing in the kingdom. That's why Jesus said, lay up your treasures in heaven, not on earth, where rust and moths can corrupt and thieves can break in and steal. Lay it up for yourselves in heaven. Boy, that's where I want my treasure. That's where I want it. John 5:24 says that we are not judged. We have crossed over from life to death. 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15, Paul says, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. Who is the someone else? Who else is building on that foundation? You guys, me, us, we get to build on the foundation of Christ. We get to do that. We get to be a partaker. We get to build up and help to bring the kingdom of God. What a cool thing. But each one must be careful how he builds. So we're being cautioned. Be careful how you build. For no one can lay a foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw. Interesting materials there. Gold, silver, and precious stones sound pretty good. Wood, hay, and straw don't sound so good. Remember the story of the three little pigs? One of them built a house of straw, and the wolf blew it down, and the other one built a house of sticks, and the wolf blew it down, and the smart pig built the house of bricks. Well, we're called to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. This workmanship will be evident because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. Our works are going to be tested with fire. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to look like. But we'll stand before God, and there's the pile of the things we've done in our life. And he's going to bring his fire down. Some of it's going to go through the fire. Gold, silver, precious stones, they're going to hang on. How about the wood, hay, and stubble? Well, not so much. And the fire will prove the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive a reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. Now get the end here. He himself will be saved, but only as if through the flames. Are you building temporary things, or are you investing yourself in riches that are going to lay up in heaven that can't be burned? All of this in mind, I want to ask you, how are you building? How am I building? How are you building? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your possessions? What are you doing with your finances? What are you doing with what God gave you? Are you investing it, or are you burying it in the ground? What are you doing? How are you doing? There's a judgment coming. You'll be saved, but there's a reward for people who are investing in reaching people, meeting needs in Jesus' name. Be careful to build with gold and silver and precious stones that will survive that final fire of judgment. God wants that. You know, some scholars believe that this is really talking about the thoughts and intents of our heart in our service, how our attitudes. Other people feel that it's more about putting one's life and resources into the kingdom of God. I would say, obey God. Obey him and invest in the kingdom of God. every chance you get. As God leads you, you have to be led by God. You can't invest in every charity that lands in your mailbox. Oh my gosh, if I had to do that, I'd be broke. So you have to listen and obey the Spirit of God. But be a person who invests themselves and invest yourself in people. Find people and invest themselves. Invest yourself in them. Encourage people. Build them up. Find ways to help them. Find ways to bring the gospel to them if they don't know Jesus. If they do know Jesus, bless them. Encourage them. Help meet their needs. But be somebody like Jesus who poured himself into other people. It says for our sake, he sanctified himself for others. Jesus didn't live a second on this earth for himself. He lived it for you. And that's what we're called to. One day we'll stand before God. One day everybody's going to stand before God because he is just and he is a judge. And there is a final judgment for the believers. It shouldn't be a fearful thing. It's a time of reward. It's a time that God wants to reward us for what we've done. But there are things that may be burned up. It makes me think twice about how I spend my time sometimes. But then there's the final judgment for people who do not know God, and they will be without excuse. So I encourage you, have a burden for people who don't know Christ. Have a burden for them. Share and reach people as best you can. Take heed how you build. Take heed how you build. Father, I thank you that we have the opportunity to build. Lord, we have the opportunity to invest our lives in the kingdom of God. We have the chance that you've given us. You have not only forgiven us of our sins, but you give us the grace to work with you and for you. And Father, we're so grateful. Help us. Help us to build wisely. Help us to build with gold and silver and precious stones. Save us, Lord, from the wood and the hay and the stubble that's eventually going to get burned up where there's no eternal value to it. Father, I pray for your grace in that. And Lord, help us to know that in the world you are just and there is a right and there is a wrong, and all of these things that people call good that are really evil, you will one day judge. So Father, give us a heart of compassion for people who are living in that way, that need to know Jesus, that need to have their lives transformed. Help us to be people who pray. Help us to be people who share your word. Help us to be people, kingdom people. Help us, Father, not to get distracted by all the other stuff. Help us to walk in the way that you want us to walk. And Father, we trust you for it. We trust your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. The scripture says it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. It's only fearful for people who don't know him and aren't in relationship with him. Jesus said to some, he said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Do you know him? If you know him, glory to God. We're walking in the way where he is going to be able to reward us. Thank you, Father. Amen. If you're here and you have a need in your body, someone will be here to pray with you today. And we're believing God to heal bodies. I don't want to say that again. We're believing God to heal bodies. He has done it, and he will do it again. So if you have a need today, don't leave without prayer. Otherwise, if you can help with some of the times that we talked about, please see Luann or myself or Wayne. And pray, please pray over this event on Saturday, that God would anoint it and use it. There's a real opportunity there. Glory to his name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.